Welcome to our Interprotocol September monthly call, which we do this every Thursday, the third Thursday of each month. And today we have a esteemed colleague. We have a good line of guests here, actually. I think I met everyone in person, so even better for myself. But we have Roland, which is a core dev at Agoric. We have Hannah, which is partnerships at Agoric. Vince from Cato. Or Cato, whatever, however you guys want to pronounce it. I have heard both ways. Sisla from Omniflix, Aaron from Osmosis, and Fig will be joining us in a few minutes from Squid. So how's everyone doing today? If you want to maybe just go around the mic and just quick little intro to yourselves.
Yeah, sure. So I was first, hi everybody, Roland here. I'm on a lot of these community calls, so people probably know me. I'm product director at Agoric, and you know we obviously did a lot of the work on Interprotocol and still are. So here, happy to talk about design and stablecoin thoughts.
I can jump in next. So Hannah from Agoric, I am our DeFi partner advocate. So working heavily with Inter, IST, as well as getting cool projects built on Agoric. So it's lovely to be here.
Everyone, my name is Aaron. I am with the Osmosis Labs team, mostly focusing on growth. Probably first time on the Interprotocol community call, so thanks for having me.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Vince here, co-founder at Cato and Cosmos Posse. We do say Cato, like avocado, but tons of people say Cato, so tomato, tomato, whatever works. And leading all of our partnerships and external kind of business relationships here at Cato, recently supported an integration here into IST from fiat around the world, and super excited to dive into it.
Then Sisla, are you there, Sisla? Not that need an intro, but yeah.
No. I had some trouble joining the space earlier, and I was just like watching everyone talk and, you know, could not like come up here. But thank you all for having me in this community call, in the Protocols community call. And again, you know, like Aaron, this is my first time here. I'm Sisla from Omniflix, and you know, very excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for everyone for stopping by as well. I always like to shout out the community. So today's main topic, there's a few different discussion points, but obviously we have a good amount of people within the ecosystem. And, you know, today's topic mainly is going to be about the stable coins and your thoughts of, you know, the stable coins in Cosmos, the role of IST, and to provide any sort of updates and takes, you know. Then if we get time at the end, we can take a few questions from the community. So just to get the ball rolling here, I guess this would be for either Hannah or Rowan, but we're seeing a number of IST ecosystem partners here. So let's just, you know, what do you guys can tell us a little bit about like the partnerships with IST and the people that we have here today?
Yeah, so I'll jump in first and then let Hannah add her thoughts beyond. And I guess from my side, you know, all the folks that are on the call today, you know, have been great partners to work with on the IST side. And, you know, from the product side, really the way we want to think about it is IST is only useful as a token to the extent it lets users do things they need to do, which is sort of an obvious statement to make, but it's easy to kind of forget that when you're sort of building tech out. And really what we want to be focused on is new use cases for IST. And so, you know, you see Omniflix on the call here, new ways to get IST. So you see Cato on the call, new places in DeFi to use IST. So Osmosis is here. And so that's really how how the product and engineering team has been thinking about growth for IST moving forward. So there's sort of a whole bunch of work to do on the contract side, which really drives capabilities for minting. And folks may know that ST Atom is coming up shortly. And you know, I expect that to move much faster going forward as well. And there's partnerships to do around there. But then on the use case side, that's really where partnerships shine. And you know, the ability to have IST infiltrate and be useful in a whole bunch of different chains and maybe even beyond Cosmos. And I'll turn it over to Hannah and have her add anything I missed here.
Yeah, thank you, Roland. So essentially, you introed into it quite well. So we are trying to get in as many places as possible and have utility for holders. So let's utilize the composability of crypto. And additionally, I mean, as we've been saying from the beginning, you've heard Dean say it, but IST for gas payments, hopefully. So it's an option for users to have a stable, you know, store or a stable token to pay their gas instead of one that's more volatile. So we're pushing on that initiative as well. As you said, as you alluded to, we're getting IST into a few other ecosystems beyond Cosmos, utilizing Stellaswap. It can be into Polkadot right now, and we're going a few other places. So really just trying to get it expansive, and then also as much use as possible for our holders.
Nice. So correct me if I'm wrong, is IST available for gas fee on Osmosis?
It should be. If not, then it can certainly be added, I imagine.
Okay, I'll just make
it is available. Yes. Yep.
No, I think that's amazing to have that like that, because it does. The less friction, the better. I mean, the more the merrier, in my opinion, because it does get a little bit frustrating. Maybe you just, you know, like one of the problems that I always run into or community members reach out to me is that they don't have any, they forgot to, you know, leave a little bit enough, or like you said about the volatility. Sometimes, you know, you think you have enough gas and maybe you don't because of the price fluctuations and things like that. So that's a determined factor. And plus, it's just not a, in my opinion, just having one is not really a great user experience. But anyways, that's kind of my little take on that. But so today's conversation is open flow. Like, I'm going to ask some questions. Whoever wants to take the mic first, you know, shoot from the hip or whatever, that's fine. But so I like, what is everyone's thoughts right now, like on the stablecoin in Cosmos? Like, how do you feel about the stablecoins right now?
I think right now everything is really exciting, given that two of the largest stablecoins and most robust and trusted out there have suddenly just both released at roughly the same month. And then like everyone's kind of rushing to get things going with these integrations. But at the same time, I'm really curious how IST is kind of strategizing with that release of USDC and Tether.
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. So really the way IST sees this, and you know, to be clear, the Noble USDC release, that's, we've known about that for a long time, Tether on Kava as well. And really, when you look at the PSM backing on IST, there's already a number of bridged USDC, USDT backing IST. And really what we expect is that bridged amount will decline. We don't really think it'll go to zero, though, who knows, and largely be replaced by native USDC and native USDT coming from Kava and Noble. And you know, from the IST side, the way at least that I've seen the econ committee talking about it, the way we've thought about it at Agoric, it's just these are additional ways to mint the token that improve UX for users, reduce fees for users. You know, speaking with the Kado guys, like the flow now through multiple places, having to bridge over Axelar, you end up with a number of fees. And, you know, that's not ideal for new users coming in if they want a low value transaction to swipe a credit card and lose 20% of it on chain fees. So now being able to come in a much more direct route, that's going to be a lot more valuable for more use cases. So we're just excited about that. You know, I think where it's an enabler of IST being able to more directly serve specific use cases. So, you know, whereas you may have trouble getting USDC from chain to chain, IST, we're going to make sure it's easy for one click you to end up with minted IST using assets you want on the chain you want at the right time. So, you know, all positive.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm not like super familiar with IST as far as like how far you guys have expanded beyond Cosmos. You said
StellaSwap is using ISD. Where else are you guys?
Yeah, so let's see. So ISD is live on UMI, so for lending and borrowing. We're also live. We're on Crescent Dex, Osmosis, ShadeSwap. And then we're looking into a few other expansions cross-chain that haven't gone live yet, but you can watch for announcements soon and check out our, you know, our Twitter will be one of the first to announce those.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, I know now compared to what it was, I mean, I know Aaron can contest to this because he's been with Osmosis, you know, for a long time. It was really tough at the very beginning. I mean, really, we only had UST. And I think the EURO, but like, to be honest with you, like really no one was using that. So we were just kind of stuck mercy, you know, with just UST. And now compare that, which hasn't even been that long. I don't even know since May-ish of 22. I think that's when the whole debacle happened. But it's nice to see that there's more options and then you can flow through to other ecosystems. And now that IST is available, you know, and others outside of Cosmos, that's great as well. Cause you need that. And I think Osmosis recently, when they got USDT natively from Kava, there's a, you know, you could just swap USDC right to it and there's like no slippage. There's really very minimal fee. So then you could take that and go explore elsewhere as well. And it just opens up more flexibility from like a DeFi perspective, just a user perspective. And then to have like IST be, you know, the inner protocol, like stablecoin of choice would be great too. Like I think that the stablecoin should be
everywhere. Yeah, that was the Transmuter pool is the no fee pool is what you're talking about. Also, I can't hear Roland for some reason, but I can hear you speaking, Haas.
Sad.
And this bug happens quite a bit on Twitter.
I've noticed if you're...
I really can't hear anyone, I think, besides
Haas. Oh, that's sad. So Aaron was just saying he can't hear anyone else. Usually has to deal with the Wi-Fi. If like you lose Wi-Fi connection at any point during the space, you can't really hear anyone, but I guess I'll just translate to you, or if you want to back out and come back in, we can add you back as a speaker. So can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. I guess just Aaron's having problems with his connection with you guys, sadly, but we'll get it going here.
Yeah, Cosmosauce, got a couple more thoughts here on like stablecoins and Cosmos and kind of where we're at right now. Because you mentioned, you know, UST and then where we're at today. You know, it's pretty interesting looking at kind of the gap that existed over the past, you know, year and a half, where, like you said, everything was reliant on UST to be the main stablecoin across the whole ecosystem. Everything that happened there, you know, looking at Axelar and the role that they played to just keep the community and ecosystem together in the meantime until we were able to get these, you know, native stablecoins of USDT and USDC launched on Cosmos, just played a huge role in terms of just keeping everyone alive, right? I think we don't want to think about a world with what would have happened in Cosmos if there wasn't Axelar USDC, if there wasn't a, you know, wrapped stablecoin that we could at least rely on in the immediate term until we got to these native stablecoins that are now here. I think growth, it's now time for growth in Cosmos because there was never going to be able to be this growth coming into the ecosystem when everything's relying on a wrapped, you know, stablecoin. So the survival, the continued growth and build of the ecosystem over the past year and a half with that, you know, friction being pushed against the ecosystem is super exciting. And now it's time to throw gasoline on the fire. And that's where IST is really going to see significant growth again, because now there's just going to be much more security, much more reliability, and all of these institutions and large amount of size are going to be able to come into the ecosystem without that risk. And the, you know, the cool stuff that we're doing with IST when it comes to an onboarding perspective, you know, for those that aren't familiar, we flow through a couple of the partners here to actually get to this end result. So if you think about the typical onboarding flow that you would have to go through to get to IST without Kado, you know, you have to go through a centralized exchange to wait multiple days and trading fees and then withdraw to your Kepler, IBC to Osmosis, then you swap to Agoric, then you swap back to Osmosis, right? There's so many friction points. We do all that in the instant flow where we on ramp directly to Squid, and then directly to Osmosis to swap to the end token and then send that over IBC to the end user's Agoric wallet. So today, anyone from 150 plus countries can instantly onboard to IST in their Agoric address, but it doesn't just have to stop there, right? Because now Kado can on-ramp to anywhere the IBC is connected. We can on-ramp to IST on Osmosis. We can on-ramp to IST on OmniFlix. It really can expand to a bunch of different chains in Cosmos. And then I know IST is pushing outside of Cosmos as well. And we're going to be able to, you know, follow suit and push into our other ecosystem partners, given Kado is not just in Cosmos as well. So there's a lot of exciting stuff to come. And I think that this is just the starting point for this whole ecosystem of growth here that's going to be happening.
So for that's, yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree any more with that. I mean, like, just listening to you say about all these steps, it's just, it's insane, right? Like, we all had to kind of just do that. That was just how we had to do it. And it was just, you know, when I first got into this space, the reason I found Cosmos initially was when I was using all these different protocols on like Ethereum and all these, I was like, man, there's like, it's ridiculous. If you want to go from one blockchain to another, there has to be something better. Then I found Cosmos and I was like, that's a million times better when it comes to like cross chain. But even that though, I was like, man, there's such a huge learning curve. And I'm thinking to myself, would anyone really spend the time unless they're really, one, they have the time, and two, they're just really like tech enthusiasts or nerds, right? I'm like, no one else, they're not going to want to do this, you know? Have to do 16 transactions, have 15 different wallets, or, you know, and it's getting there. And I do like the point, because I made this point recently with the Cosmos SDK and the tech, and, you know, like having, say, like DYDX build their own app chain. It just shows you that the technology is there, but we did still have all wrapped assets when it came to stable coins. Now that's not, and you know, that's not really a thing anymore. It's starting not to be. So there's no reason why that like Cosmos can't be the, you know, just basically, you know, like the intricate way for institutions to get into this space, you know. And it's going to be interesting to see that over the next year or so, next few years, that is Cosmos going to land the, you know, the institutions, big businesses and all this, or is it going to be L2 roll-ups on Ethereum? And I mean, I would like to think Cosmos, just because it's not controlled by multi-sigs and things like that. But I guess my question for you before we pass the mic is, what kind of fees are like affiliated, like say someone wants to just get $100 on board with Kado, like what kind of fees would they be looking at?
Yeah. So it's, again, to Roland's point, we really try to keep this as low friction as possible. It depends on the payment method, right? So like if you're using a debit card versus a bank transfer, the fees are going to differ there. But Kado at the end of the day, when you think about any other on and off ramp in the space as well, we're really making sure that we have the lowest fees on that side. So, in the bank transfer side, it's less than 1%. And then on the debit card side, it's less than 3%. So if you're looking at here, like I'm looking up at our app right now, if you try to buy $100 worth of IST, you get 95. And just there's a couple of things in there in terms of the kind of XLR swap and the Osmosis swap that gets taken out there. But again, it's really, there's not an easier way to get there from fiat. So in terms of fees and steps.
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad. Hey, Fig, welcome to the space, man. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Sorry I'm late. I was talking with DYDX. I feel like it's also on the Cosmos mission to spread that word. It felt like Attack of the App Chains over there. It was like, we had a few Cosmos projects in the space, and glad to be coming over to another insane Cosmos build session. So yeah, let's get talking.
It's good vibes over here, so there's no hostile, you know, there's no hostility or anything. But I guess since you're already on, what's your thoughts from when you've been into Cosmos till now with stable coins, and what are you looking most forward to with Cosmos stable coins?
Yeah, well, I mean, my experience at the start being a project built on Axla, I was using Axla USDC, and then, you know, we have, I'm not an expert in stable coins, to be honest. So we've got, the only thing that I've, you know, we focus on is when you have these bridgeable stable coins, like IST is an interchain stable coin. Like, we want to be able to use that anywhere in one click, no matter where you are, like no matter where you're coming from, and like really take full advantage of that interchainness. And so I guess my experience has been originally like bridging stablecoins just in the EVM world, and then realizing you have to then, once you've bridged it across to the destination chain, you need to swap it into some other version. But, you know, if we can have IST be just, you know, native in as many places as once, at once, you don't need to do the swaps. You just find a route to bridge it via ABC, or, and, you know, if going into the EVM world, you use something like Axlar to start with. And yeah, that's probably where I'd stop with that. I mean, stablecoins, in all my conversations the last few days at least, everyone's, you know, feeling the heat with crypto about what are the use cases, and, you know, stablecoins just come back and back to this one thing. Like, I feel like what we're trying to do at Squid is allow people to use their money on, you know, internet applications as easy as possible. And the money that you want to use is, you know, realistically, it's probably going to be a stablecoin, right? Like, well, if we want to do payments or like buy a product, we're going to need something which is stable and, you know, maybe pegged to the US dollar. So, yeah, those are my brain fart thoughts on stablecoins.
And I should say that, you know, in my initial set of words, I left out Fig in part because he wasn't here and I was looking through the speakers and I forgot, but I should say Fig has really been instrumental, and Squid in general has been instrumental in pushing our thinking on cross-chain UX. And, you know, we've had a few conversations on packet forwarding middleware, which is sort of the enabling tech underneath to do multi-hop IBC transactions, which, yeah, our team is finally sort of gotten a security perspective around. And so that's moving forward, and we're really excited for the UX enablements that's going to drive. You know, I talked about getting the right token on the right chain when you want it, and that's really sort of the enabler for that. The one thing that I would add from the IST side is, not only will you be able to sort of use these awesome applications like Squid, but you'll also be able to, once IST sort of builds in some native cross-chain minting, you'll be able to mint that way too, right? So it's not just that you'd be able to swap out of tokens you have into IST and get them onto the right chain, but you'll be able to use assets you have wherever they might be, mint IST to the place that you need it. And so that's the sort of thing that's really going to unlock use cases moving forward. And we had, you know, I'll say I'm ahead of my skis on where we are. We have some work to get there, but it's not research challenges. Like, the pathway is relatively clear on how to do that. So really excited for that coming ahead.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. And I really respect the way you guys approach security of the packet forward middleware, and you do everything like at such a high caliber. But yeah, being able to mint from anywhere and then being able to use it as well, like not just get the asset, but get it to the location that the application is, and then also use it, like lend it on a lending protocol, or buy an NFT with it, or do whatever you need in the same click. And that packet forward middleware is like key to being able to do that.
And then I was going to add to your initial point, Fig. I mean, totally with purchasing things or doing things. I mean, it needs to be in stable coins, right? Like, it's just really frustrating. Even if you want to buy an NFT and it's like, whatever asset, it doesn't matter. Any asset that's not a stable coin, you know, one day it's worth this, then, you know, a month later it's worth, you know, way less or way more. And it's kind of frustrating. If you just had it pegged into, you know, a stable coin, then you know what you're getting. People don't want to be able to buy one thing today for this amount, and then maybe they get 10 things later, or maybe they don't get anything because the price just substantially drops down. So being able to one click transact and have a stable coin that could just like flow like water is great. Like, that's how I like look at it. So that's great that we're getting there. I wish all this happened before UST. I mean, that would have been great. Like, that, like, UST was just an option. It was just another option instead of like being the only option in Cosmos. But I guess we're all survivors. We're just coming out of the ashes, so to speak. So it's nice to see that there's like multiple of options now. So I'm grateful for that as a user, and just more. I just feel more safe now, because like, one thing I learned is like, all right, I'm going to diversify my stable coins. I won't just have a bunch of the same ones, regardless of if I feel good about it or not. I just kind of have multiple stable coins, and I don't have to leave Cosmos. Like, before, if you wanted to do it, and you're like, all right, I have to bridge this out of here and be out of Cosmos if I want to have a different stablecoin. So it just feels more secure and just better as a user from my perspective. So
I'll probably just like lead that into saying something that we were like extremely prepared as OmniFlix to integrate UST before the crash. And after that, there were not many options. And of course, the bridge versions existed. You know, we never knew if something would stick around in the ecosystem, right? And that was the fear for the app. For an app chain like OmniFlix to support. And just recently we powered, we integrated with the Agoric we laid IBC packets between Agoric and OmniFlix and now have IST integrated. And with the help of the team, the right push, shout out to Bob here. We've had quite the experience when it comes to, stable coins on OmniFlix and creators, especially in the primary markets, they preferred IST, listing their assets in IST over, secondary trading at this point in time. So this is like a good insight that we've had in the first few weeks of integrating IST. So that went very well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had some questions prepared, but we're kind of like, we're kind of just tabbing each one of them. So, I mean, does anyone else have, I guess, like a positive or something to mention regarding their protocol that's IST is opening up or that, just opening up or is improving your protocol?
So I think in terms of, Kado, there's a couple of things that come to mind. I know you guys are talking about the fact that like stable coins make these transactions on chain a lot easier. I think that's something that is just going to continue to have tons of value. The ability of Agoric to pull in these kind of mainstream developers, more mainstream use cases because everything's built on JavaScript, it's going to open up all these doors where, someone that's not crypto native, it's so much easier for them to understand, okay, I'm onboarding my dollars to the blockchain to do something on the blockchain. And that's just much more easier than swapping to these volatile tokens and managing gas fees with multiple tokens. So the ability to spend IST as that gas token as well is really, really impactful. And I think it's, again, one of those things from UST that there's good and bad things to learn from it. That's one of the really good things that we learned, that the ability to pay your gas fees and everything on chain with that dollar value that you're onboarding from and onboarding to makes things a lot more easier. And then I think in terms of OmniFlix and some other cool use cases here, there's not a lot of spending use cases and utility still in the ecosystem. And with Kado's payment rails, today we're onboarding from fiat, but very soon the off-ramp is going to be live. And then there's going to be the ability for payment use cases, right? If you're paying for your Cosmoverse ticket or you're paying for other experiences on chain, you can just auto off-ramp to fiat in the real world and then just send that fiat to the end merchant. And then IST is able to be spent across all these use cases. So I think utility coming to the IST ecosystem in the real world is going to be pretty exciting as well.
That final use case is such an exciting thing, I think. Like, if you want to find use cases, go and look on the internet and spend in fiat. But we can potentially keep some of the we can have, I would obviously in an end state world hope that we move everything completely on chain. But if we can hold stable coins on chain and then spend them at will, we get something of the best of both worlds, or at least a transition period. That's so cool what you guys are building, and to be able to do that with IST is like a really nice unlock as well.
Aaron, Aaron, can you hear anyone?
I can hear you and Fig. If you could maybe play the relayer here, be a little bridge between communications, that would be fantastic. Just let me know what you need from me.
No, I guess you can only hear a couple guys, but I guess what I was going to ask you from like Osmosis's perspective, what has like IST opened up for the protocol?
I think one thing that's really important with IST as far as Osmosis goes is an alternative to these major stables that are, obviously heavily centralized, right? And the idea is that some users want to gravitate towards that. Some users want to diversify, and some users don't want to use these centralized stables. And IST offers that. And I think that that's kind of key here.
Yeah, exactly. Like from my perspective, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's all you would want for. I think just in general in crypto, regardless of if it's like for a wallet, a stable coin, an application, whatever it may be, as long I'm all about options and flexibility. You know, maybe I use it, maybe I don't, but at least it's there. And we're starting to get there, you know, with all of it. Instead of, you know, there's way more wallets out now. There's more options. So if you don't like one wallet, you can go to the other. And yeah, I just think that's a key part of having that, because you do have the people, you know. I remember there was a lot of flack when UST was the only thing. People had some negativity towards it and said we need other ones because it's I mean, people were calling it, and I didn't listen to them, but they were saying, you know, it's a Ponzi. It's they have funny words to call about it. And I at the time, I didn't think anything of it. I thought the people were just whatever, you know. But yeah, there should be options. And then there's people that, like you said, they don't want to touch any sort of like heavily centralized stable coin. And then there's others that are probably just like, nah, that's what I want. If they were going to do something, they would have done it already. But have more options. And, you know, like I said, I don't want to say the more the merrier, but yeah, for sure have more options to do things with stable coins. And you know, that's great. So.
Yeah. And I would say from my side, just to kind of add on to how folks are thinking about USDC and USDT versus IST, you know, obviously there is that big ideological part, and frankly, a practical part too, right? It's one thing for Circle to censor an entire bridge or censor an entire sort of PSM or something along those lines versus censoring an individual wallet, which they may just do without any repercussions. And so I think that there is really truly a practical protection that you have for yourself using a stablecoin like IST. But then beyond that, also really where we're trying to successfully compete is on usability, accessibility. So getting back to how quickly can you get the token to the place you need it at the right time? Where can you use it? So all of those things matter. And then also really importantly, what backs it, right? You know, when you look at USDT or USDC, it's backed by one asset, which is US dollars in a bank account regulated somewhere. And that's a great asset. It's an important asset to have as something backing your tokens. But we can do better than that, right? IST can be backed by that in the form of those USDC and USDT tokens, but they can also be backed by crypto tokens. It can be backed by an array of things that allow you to mint. And so long-term, you know, it gives a lot more flexibility to how this asset can be created. And I think that really does matter and lets you risk weight things in a different way. So, you know, I think all those things will combine to show why IST will be a valuable asset relative to even, you know, centralized stable coins like USDC and USDT.
And then just because we have everyone on here, it doesn't have to be about IST or stable coins. Like I, from your perspective on your protocol and what you have going on, like what are you excited about right now or working on that you're really excited that's coming out in the near future? Go with you, Sisla. Sisla, can you hear me? Can't hear me?
Maybe.
He's reconnecting, it looks like.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I can go. I can say something. So what what we've been working at the moment, so we just launched the full swaps between EVM and Cosmos with a single click to get any token on any chain. But we've also got already the capability to do something with the token on the destination chain. So we're building out these use cases at the moment to show this completely interchain UX where you never even really need to know that you're on a different chain. You just use the assets within your wallet on the application. And maybe like right now, we still need signifiers to show, okay, your USDC is on Arbitrum. You're going to spend those tokens on this app. But hopefully in the future, we can have, especially with, you know, the MetaMask snaps and some interchain wallets like XDeFi, and like we can get to the point where you've just got money and you spend it on a product, and it's like as simple as that. And we're coming out with an experience where you should be able to buy NFTs on the EVM side well, as just like I've described. So really excited about that. That's, I guess, a little bit of alpha, but and we're also working with a bunch of different teams and doing like lending across chain, doing NFT purchases across chain, working with Sizzler and StreamSwap, and we'll be doing stuff with OmniFlix too, I'm sure. Cardo, of course, really excited about what they're doing, and like the Fiat Link is like, that's the biggest chain of all. So what those guys are doing is super important for all of us. Yeah, that's all for me.
So Fig, to ask you something. So like, is it always, I guess not, hey, I don't want to use the word always, but for the foreseeable future, is it just going to be EVM and Cosmos? Like, is there any like future way to potentially do like other ecosystems that aren't EVM?
Yeah. We've got a long list of chains coming. So Bitcoin's probably the next non-EVM chain. And then what else do we have? Solana will be coming as well. Talking about it with Polkadot as well. There's different ways of getting to Polkadot and Kusama. Like, we've got the IBC integration already, and you can use Moonbeam as a router. So yeah, we've got a, the idea is to connect to everything. It's just a matter of doing them one by one. Yep.
That's really, that's exciting, because like I was saying, I think you weren't in the space, but yeah, I mean, the level of knowledge you have to do or know and understand just to be able to do things in other ecosystems, like say outside of Cosmos and back and forth, and like Solana or Bitcoin, it was just a huge learning curve. And to have a place or just have someone in the background that's just doing all the transactions and doing that for them, you know, is great. Because, you know, like, I go on a website and then I go on another one, like, I don't really care how it works, like why it works. And do I need to know that it's pinging off of different servers and a locate? Like, I don't need to know that. We just go on and enjoy the website. And right now you kind of have to understand, for the most part, like, you guys obviously are heads and shoulders above everyone else, in my opinion, of doing all that. But if you kind of, if you're trying to do it by yourself as a user, yeah, you kind of have to know all of that. I still talk to people. They're like, oh, I got all my Atom on Coinbase, and why isn't the price going up? I'm like, what? I'm amazed. I'm like, how long have you been in the crypto for? Oh, 2 years. And you're still just keeping your assets on Coinbase. And no knock on Coinbase. It's just because people are timid, they're scared, they're afraid. Maybe they don't have the time to do it. They just don't understand, or no one's told them, like, hey, it's pretty easy now. So we're starting to get there. And you know, hats off to you guys, because this space can only go forward and get more, you know, millions and millions and potentially billions of users with it just needs to be easier. You know, like, if you go to a shopping plaza, you don't need 6 wallets to go to different stores. Like, every store you go into, it's like, oh, I need a new wallet to go into that store. Like, no, you just go in and buy whatever you want. And that's great that you're doing that, because you're just exactly what you're doing. Like, you don't need to know all this stuff. You just have your coin, your stable coins or whatever, and just buy stuff, which is great. So
thanks, man. Really appreciate the words. It's what we're trying to do.
Nice. So Sisla, before you got rubbed or whatever what was happening there, the question was, like, it doesn't have to be about just stable coins. It could just be about like what you're excited about with your protocol, like OmniFlix, and, you know, any, if you want to share some alpha, great, or it's always appreciated. I'll never give you thumbs down for that. But, you know, anything that you have in the pipe, the pipeline right now that you're excited about?
Oh, yeah. You know, like, if not for the stablecoin, you know, in general, we are excited to, you know, build this infrastructure for media. And as one of the first steps, went ahead and launched what is OmniFlix TV. And we've had the inter-protocol community. We've had Squid, you know, Fig is here. And of course, we've done campaigns with Osmosis in the past as well. In 2021, that was when the alpha version of OmniFlix TV launched. So we went ahead and launched that and received like great feedback. And, you know, this is an app that we were very excited to launch. And, you know, this is what in the near term you're very excited for. So, you know, that's going on very well. And multiple other, you know, integrations are happening. like MetaMask Leap Snaps or MetaMask Snaps powered by Leap. And, you know, of course, Elements, where we'll have Caddo as well as Squid integrated. So all of these like only improve the UX. And, you know, we were discussing on how best to, you know, make it even as seamless as possible, like how Roland was talking about PFM and everything else that follows. Yeah.
So is Omniflix TV going to replace Bollywood TV?
Hopefully one day, or hopefully on top of the protocol, we'll have, you know, multiple such platforms being built. So, you know, very excited about that.
Yeah, and shout out to StreamSwap. That's a good, that's a very good platform as well.
100%, you know, and yeah, like three out of the four teams that are here, you know, they power StreamSwap in some or the other way. So, you know, pretty glad to see that happen. And yeah, you know, kudos to Osmosis for making sure that not only IST, not only Flix, but multiple other tokens are being enabled or supported for the payment of gas, which tremendously improved the UX, you know, in general across the board within the ecosystem.
And then Aaron, I guess anything with Osmosis right now? I know there's been a lot of developments, and from a trading perspective, and just also more assets. And you know, I seen Wormhole brought over quite a few different assets, so that's exciting. And anything else?
Yeah, I think from my side, probably most excited about this notion of a singularity. It's kind of everything is just coming together, right? Like, all this infra is finally there and all these teams are building. And if you think of it originally, it's like all these projects that were connected with, think of it like balsa wood, but now it's like forming into steel pillars and everything's connecting with much more robustness. And then on top of that, all these new assets coming over, Wormhole is here and bringing over Solana, Aptos, Sui, and, you know, and along with those, not just like these main assets, but let's say on Solana, there's Orca, right? So it opens the door to much more than just the main assets. And with all these bridges coming over and all these new assets and all the infra being built out, everything can just flow together more seamlessly. So, you know, like the Squid integrations, Axel are bringing over more bridges as well. And they're consistently still working on that. Even Nomic coming soon. So I'm really just excited to see everything kind of coming together finally. And then on top of that, on the Osmosis side, we've got, you know, the pro trading UI that's coming soon, the rebrand, Osmosis V2, a lot of the native apps that are, or a lot of the apps that are built natively on Osmosis. These will, you know, we're going to be seeking solutions to kind of get these more natively baked in as well. So again, like, not just Creator Cosmos, but Osmosis as well. I think just everything's finally flowing together. And the next 6 months are going to be very exciting.
And then for Kato, is there anything else that you want to add about what you guys got going on?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we are you know, excited about the OmniFlix stuff going on, and working on an integration with those guys and expanding into that ecosystem, which is going to be super exciting. And then, you know, shout out to Squid and Osmosis, honestly. So if you think about the way that Kato integrates with these guys, if you have your token or your blockchain integrated with either Squid, or you list your token on Osmosis, Kato can then on-ramp directly to you. So because of our ability to on-ramp directly to these smart contracts, there's a huge win that we can get for these builders that have these tokens in these ecosystems, but also the users that are trying to onboard into these ecosystems. So If you have your own app chain, or if you have your own DApp token in another ecosystem, it's a very difficult process to integrate your token and your blockchain into the fiat payment rail system and into these custodians. But Kato can bypass all of that friction because we can on-ramp directly to these partners and flow through these guys in the back end to make it all easy for the users and the builders on the front end. So not only is it great that it, you know, drives volume for Squid, it drives volume for Osmosis every time we on-ramp through their rails on the back end, there's a huge win for everyone involved to enable that seamless onboarding flow. So there's like, the way that things are today is amazing, but it's only going to get better. And part of the big name of the game here is just expanding into every single local payment method around the world, right? Today we're available with ACH bank transfer, with credit debit cards around the world, with wire transfers. and with Apple Pay. But really, the next level here for us in the next month or two is going to be turning on a bunch of different local payment methods where it's going to be even cheaper and even easier for users wherever they are in the world to be able to on-ramp directly to self-custody directly through these rails. So we just finalized our international licensing. Very soon, we're going to be turning on SEPA and open banking for all of Europe, PIX in Brazil, and a bunch of Latin American integrations coming next month. And then from there, APAC, India, and Africa are going to be quick follows. So over the past year, we've been laying the groundwork to be able to, you know, turn on the spigot for all these different local integrations around the world. And that's going to be the next phase of growth, which is, you know, ultimately going to impact everyone, and especially the IST ecosystem as well, as onboarding is just going to get that much easier.
Nice. There's a lot of good things coming to Cosmos and to all of us and in here in the near future. So that's exciting. Plus Cosmoverse is right around the corner, which I'm excited because I'll be there and I hope to see everyone there, and a lot of good energy. Just to like reset the room, Roland, did you want to go over any sort of updates around the community? I know there's announcements.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, a lot of stuff going on both at Agoric more generally and within Inter Protocol. And I'll stick to Inter Protocol for now. SC Atom is the primary thing. You know, the community's been talking about it for a while. Simply Staking, the lead of the decentralized Oracle network, came back with a methodology for pricing a long while back. The Gauntlet supported the econ committee in making risk recommendations. So all of the important community stuff happened for ST Atom, and we've been delayed a little bit on the engineering side. And so I made a post in the Agoric forum, I think it was this week, kind of giving a little more details on that. But we are really excited for ST Atom to come out. And more importantly, what this is exercising is the collateral addition mechanism for Inter Protocol. And so I kind of alluded to a few of the operational processes that had to happen. There were a few engineering processes too. And so not only are those clear moving forward, but I think we've also, the jump from 1 to 2 is significant, and the jump from 2 to 3 will be a lot lower. That's our expectation. So really excited for that to happen. You know, I'm an ST Atom holder. I'm a build holder and an IST user. And so I definitely feel the community's pain in waiting for this. But we're excited for that to launch. And then we've got other collateral already sort of being discussed. And so expect that will move forward. There also have been discussions, and I don't think a vote has happened yet, though I may be behind, for PSMs for Noble USDC and then Kava's USDT. So we talked about that earlier in the call. That's already moving forward, and we expect IST to be backed by those assets shortly after that vote completes for the PSMs. And then beyond that, I talked about some sort of goals in terms of feature growth for Inter Protocol. So near term, we have some work planned around visibility into liquidation auctions. That's more of just supporting the protocol starting to grow as we get these more desirable collateral assets like ST Atom in. We expect a lot more volume, and so liquidation needs to be a little more robust. Working on that first, but then also really excited to explore cross-chain capabilities. And there's a number of ways that could get implemented within Inter Protocol, but want to demonstrate, you know, I think those of you on this call likely are already sort of familiar with that, but for the broader community, we want to be able to demonstrate that Inter Protocol can natively execute cross-chain. And so we're targeting some initial capabilities that would show that. A little bit longer term, we're really focused on enabling cross-chain and yield-bearing collateral. And so I think that's likely where you'll see Inter Protocol go. But we're also at a phase where the roadmap for Inter Protocol really is pretty wide open, right? So more community involvement is really, really kind of an exciting prospect as we start to gain ideas for where Inter Protocol can connect, you know, what usability concerns people have, all sorts of things. You know, even with folks on the call here, like the Kado team, we've got kind of a V2 of the integration that we talked about a long time ago, and prioritizing that is an open question too, which would help Inter Protocol routing. So, you know, giant list of new capabilities, and really we're kind of excited to start ticking through them.
Yeah, and then I'll mention too, for all the validators, you know, mark it on your calendars. October 31st, they're opening up the applications for the DCF delegation. Total amount is 65 million BLD, which is up from 20 million from last year. So, you know, again, mark your calendars, get your applications in, and, you know, stay tuned on Twitter in our next, you know, monthly space and that as well. And then, Sisla. So I heard that there's like going to be some sort of special party at Cosmoverse. Like, what's up with that? Care to share?
Of course. You know, I'm pretty excited to share that, you know, Flix Fest, which is, you know, an after party, Cosmos after party that happened last year in Colombia as well. And this year it is happening in Turkey as well after day one, which is 2nd of October. And Flix Fest will be powered by Interprotocol in association with Osmosis, StreamSwap, and Hugin Validator, who are a local team that are helping us organize the Flix Fest as well. So, you know, we're very excited for that and very glad to see Interprotocol, Osmosis, and, you know, other ecosystem folks that have short support as well, you know, Fig and team. And yeah, very glad to share that, you know, with all of you.
That's fun. I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to it. I didn't get together.
And Haas, and apologies. I need to jump back in on one thing that's actually happening imminently that I somehow left out of my list of Interprotocol updates. So an important piece here also is both the PSM application and app.inter.trade will, as of, I think, potentially this morning, very shortly, not require users to use the Agoric wallet UI anymore. So that's something that we've definitely gotten a bunch of confusion on Twitter about, you know, why do I need this thing? Which there's reasons, but it's hard to explain. And so we'd much prefer that users not need it. Some work went in over the weekend, so thank you to the team for doing that. But you'll be able to provision a smart wallet account, which you'll still need to do. That's an on-chain thing, directly from those applications, and you'll be able to sign offers directly in Kepler, displayed in sort of very human-readable, friendly formats in Kepler. And so for that piece, you won't need the smart wallet UI at all. It still is required to send Atom or any new collateral asset over. It'll structure the IBC transaction. But other than that, most users won't need to touch it. So we're really excited about that.
And also, I had a brain fart. The DCF delegations start this Monday. The applications start, and it actually closes on October 31st. I said it starts on October 31st. I was incorrect. I apologize. So it starts, get your applications in. And so I guess we have a few really good questions that kind of handpicked, and I apologize. I know there was a lot of questions from community. So, you know, again, appreciate the enthusiasm, the, you know, the input and everything, but I kind of try to narrow it down to some questions regarding IST. So Roland or Hannah, if you'd like to answer, whomever, if it is applicable to you. But the first one was from Joe Snowden. I think that's his username. It was, if there's only one key metric to focus on by optimizing IST growth and success, what would it be?
That's a good question. I'm thinking. So if you give me a second, because there's a lot of things that we seek to optimize for. I think what I would say would be availability. And I guess I would like kind of double click on that and say it has to be available in many places, which kind of also I'm gonna like now I guess throw in a few more things, but be recognizable, right? So that's why we're up here. And that's why we're meeting people at conferences and showing, you know, the team behind it. Like, you know, this is a project that you can trust. And because really in crypto, everything's digital, but it's important to I guess, like show up and, you know, be trusted, even though it's the whole ecosystem's about trustlessness. But I think it being available and having people, you know that there's a solid team behind it and reliable, and they can trust the technology and the team that's building it is really important.
And then I guess this question kind of coincides with what you're speaking about right now, but, and you also mentioned this earlier in the space, is another user, Chill and Retweet, asked if, is there any plans to have IST listed outside of Cosmos or to some newer protocols? And then also they mentioned, I guess their focal point was, have an IST listed as an acceptable currency to borrow and lend outside of the ecosystem.
Yeah, so it's, as I mentioned slightly earlier, it's available in Polkadot right now, and we're actually working with Moonbeam there to have borrowing and lending enabled, so it'll be available in Polkadot. We're exploring a few other blockchains also, so we'll kind of take those one at a time, but you can expect to see IST in multiple ecosystems. So yeah, it does kind of go with that availability of trying to be, you know, everywhere, get that trusted brand, but then also maintain reliability throughout all of that. But yeah, it'll be available for multiple use cases in a few different chains.
And then Cicely, I seen you had your hand up before. I'm sorry. Did you have anything to add about the party or anything?
Oh yeah. Just had a small point here. Like, we are running a campaign on Omniflix TV right now, where if you are part of the space, you can go to Omniflix TV. There is a video about the protocol that you can watch, and the secret phrase to claim your proof of participation is FlixFest powered by Inter Protocol. So I'll repeat the secret phrase again. It is FlixFest powered by Inter Protocol. And yeah, like, just about the party, you know, we are very excited to have the community come together, partners that we work with on a daily basis here in the Cosmos ecosystem, come together to make this happen. And it is on the evening of day one, which is Monday, October 2nd. And it is like an 8-minute walk from the venue. So, from the Cosmos venue, if you're looking to grab a drink, make sure you connect with the right folks. You'll have Aaron for sure, and the Osmosis team. You'll have folks from the Inter Protocol. I'm sure the Agoric team would also join. And of course, the Omniflix network of builders as well as creators and validators. So we're very excited, and hopefully you can. Tickets will be going out live tomorrow. There'll be an announcement officially, and you can get your tickets using Flix right on Omniflix. So this is something that I had to share. I'm pretty excited to see this happen, and look forward to seeing everyone come join them.
So for those that aren't able to attend, I mean, I wasn't able to attend the first two. Are you guys going to be also broadcasting it live? I'm assuming yes. And if so, how do people find out about that? You may have just even touched on it. I kind of zoned out for a second there, but
actually not. This is an evening, more like not an after party.
No. But the party. I meant the overall Cosmoverse. I'm sorry if I didn't make myself.
Okay. Yeah.
No, we don't want to see any. We don't want to see any craziness. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the actual event.
Exactly. You know, we don't want to stream the party as well. But yes, Cosmos will be streaming on the official Cosmos HQ YouTube channel, on Omniflix YouTube channel. This time across multiple destinations. We've had, like, for the 2022 edition, there were like 6 streams, 4 in English and 2 in Spanish, that were running, in parallel. And by the end of the event, we've, reached 56,000 new, unique users that actually watched those streams. So this year we're planning for something much better, much bigger. And, we want to make sure that, any number of destinations that are looking to support are supported across communities. And it'll be on YouTube, Twitter. You should be able to follow the Cosmos HQ Twitter account, or the Omniflix network Twitter account, and you should be able to get more info.
Great, looking forward to it. And then I have another community question for either Hannah or Roland. It comes from Andy Pop X. What happens to the value of collateral in a vault that falls below the liquidation threshold, and how is it handled? And then there's like a second part. What are the fees associated with minting IST, and where does the fee revenue go?
Sure. Yeah, I can handle. So I'll take the second one first because that's straightforward. There is a minting fee associated, which is set to be relatively low. I think it's 0.5% right now. That's a governed parameter that is managed by the Econ Committee, along with a number of other risk parameters there. The goal of that fee largely is to ensure that users don't just create vaults and then close them before they're charged any interest, which you could theoretically do lots of times and avoid ever paying for your debt. On the first question for liquidation, I'll go into a little detail there. And you know, if we want to go deeper, we can. There are liquidation auctions that run every hour. And ahead of that auction, I think right now it's set at half an hour, the price for liquidation is locked. So whatever the atom price is at that time gets locked. And if your vault based on that price would get liquidated, then it gets sent to the auction for liquidation. And so at that hour time frame, all the vaults that are sort of below the threshold get sent to an auction and get auctioned all together. So all that collateral gets grouped up and gets auctioned off. And it starts at a price slightly above the market price and then declines down to a minimum price, which again, all this is set by the Econ Committee, which controls those parameters. And it allows people to make bids during that time. So it's just an auction. And the auction proceeds until it has either sold all the collateral that has it available to it, raised all the IST that it has to raise to cover the debt of the vaults that got liquidated, or reached that minimum price and hasn't gotten enough bids. And then it distributes proceeds of the auction back to various parties. So there's a penalty on liquidation, which goes to the reserve. Any excess atom ahead of, on top of what got sold and what got used for the penalty gets distributed back to vault holders, ordered by their collateralization ratio at time of liquidation. You kind of need a spreadsheet to really understand exactly how it gets distributed at this point, but you can kind of get a sense, an intuitive sense of how that works. And just to answer that last piece, all fees for the protocol go to the protocol reserve, and build stakers can decide what to do with that reserve. Right now, those assets just sit in the reserve and ensure that the protocol remains over collateralized. And hopefully those reserve assets grow over time. And you can see that reserve balance at info.inter.trade. So I'll stop there. You know, I could spend an hour detailing the liquidation mechanics, but that's a high level how it works.
No, I guess I'm patting myself on the back for you know, selecting those questions, because that was all very thorough answers from you and Hannah. So I appreciate the clarity, and yeah, I think I even learned some things there about that. And I get a little bit bored staring at spreadsheets. I do that all day, so it gets kind of exhausting. But no, it was good answers. I'm looking forward to other assets. And that would be kind of cool too, to have like IST be on, you know, like a different protocol, and you could borrow and lend, you could use it for borrowing and lending, and even outside of Cosmos. So that'll be exciting whenever that happens, when it does, or if it does. And no, it's just exciting to kind of bring everything together, because, you know, one of the things when I first came into Cosmos that I was super excited about was just truly how interoperable it is. And I, you know, no knock on things that are outside of IBC, but my perception and just like thought process and just my experiences, the words just used like outside of Cosmos, but it really is like the identity of Cosmos, even when it comes to like the communitarian side of it and just the developers. And shout out to Sisla, actually my first time I ever even did a Twitter space, and I wasn't hosting it. I didn't even know what Twitter space was at the time. It was like a Friday back at like around Thanksgiving of 21. And some guys were talking about Cosmos on a space. And this kind of just ties into like the whole Cosmos thesis and why I found it and was excited. Anyways, it was a Friday, hopped on. It was just like four or five guys talking about Cosmos, and most of those guys actually right now are the Cosmos Space team. And we just started speaking about things and talking about things, and I buzzed in because there were some questions that they were kind of confused about that I knew because I just was so in depth and just spending thousands of hours of research. So we started talking about Cosmos, and that same night, it wasn't because of me, but you know, everyone stopped by, including Sisla, like everyone, and just started talking about crypto and Cosmos and the future and just like hypotheticals and all this amazing thing. It was the most amazing conversation, and that kind of just motivated me and was like, all right, well, I think I should start doing some Twitter spaces and providing content and giving back even more. And it motivated me, and just the fact to think about essentially that those individuals are essentially like a CEO of a company, and they're just like voluntarily spending time, like organically just coming by and just talking shop, was like, all right, yeah, I love Cosmos. And then that just motivated me, and that's kind of why I'm doing all this now. It's all because of me just going with that positive energy, and you know, a couple of years later, here I am. So but yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone that stopped by. If anyone had any closing thoughts before we wrap it up, that's it. So thank you, everyone.
Very glad to have been here, and you know, I think, yeah, the limits of what can be done, specifically with IST, you know, are being pushed by the team. We can see that happen, and very glad to collaborate as OmniFlix.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Really? Worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, this shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile over here rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee jerk, more evolution, less shit coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terra Spaces.